Okay, hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the rundown Wi-Fi of free speech. Why is it run down? I don't know. Because it needs fundage, and it needs it badly. So send that badly needed fundage to republicbroadcasting.org. You go to Republic Broadcasting, and you'll just follow the instructions, okay? You know the thing. Okay, enough stammering. I have Paul Edward Stevenson with me today. Paul, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Patrick, as always.
It is great. It's very great. Thank you very much.
We love doing your shows, Patrick. I was actually talking to Mark. And he said to me, he said, I love doing Patrick's show. We really love doing Patrick's show. It's our highlight of the week.
Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. I don't know how well you remember 1989 and the fall of the Berlin Wall. Do you remember that? I mean, you would have been like a teenager or early teens, a kid. When would you have been?
Yeah, I would have been about... I was maybe 12 or 13. I do remember it happening. As a 13-year-old, I just didn't have any interest in it. I didn't know the significance of it or whatever. But I remember, everyone being excited and stuff. So I just didn't realize the significance of it or what it was all about, really, nor was I interested.
Yeah, there's, in 1989, there's stuff going on. Early in the year, there's stuff going on. The Hungarians were organizing elections and Gorbachev wasn't getting in the way. And then the Poles were organizing elections and Gorbachev wasn't getting in the way. But then towards the end of the summer, maybe around September, you started getting this flood of East Germans into Czechoslovakia. And Czechoslovakia has borders with Austria and with Germany, West Germany. And so these East Germans were, they were going to Western countries. And then next thing you know, these governments, like in the autumn, they were just giving way left and right. And the last big holdout was Romania. And I think it was around Christmas Day, Ceausescu, the strongman dictator of Romania, he got shot by his own people. I think it was his own security guards that shot him. And that was the violent overthrow. The others weren't so violent, but it was just one after another. It kind of started. And so here we are, and everything's gone crazy. The West has gone crazy, and things are falling apart. And now Boris Johnson, well, he's going to step aside. That doesn't seem all that monumental, but he's going to step aside. But, Joe Biden, nobody wants Joe Biden to run again. And the only reason he's probably still president is because people don't want chlamydia. And, right? Nobody wants chlamydia.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's... I don't know if you listen at all to, what's the guy's name? Alexander Mercolis, who does a podcast, but yeah, he's been talking about some of the same things. The West, it seems to me that the Western countries could be in for some major upheavals. Germany, which is run, it seems to be like, well, this guy, what's his name? Olaf Scholz. Who's kind of a hapless character, but you got these Greens. The Greens are in coalition. I don't know why they're in coalition with the Christian Democrats, but they are, and in a lot of ways seem to be running the show, and not running it very well.
If they're so green, they should stop supporting that war in Ukraine, and get back. Cheap oil and gas from Russia rather than having to turn on the coal plants, because that's the great tragic and humorous irony of the insanity of what's happening in Germany, because they're being dictated to by Jews.
to keep poking that bear, and it's just insanity. Germany are going to, for the most. But, you know, inflation is through the roof here as well. Petrol prices are really high, same in America. Biden's, meanwhile, is over there begging the Saudis for oil. I mean, if you don't understand the Jewish question, I defy anybody to give an explanation of any of this that it makes sense. Because unless you understand that who's pulling the strings, it just makes no sense, you know. All these nations acting so counterintuitively to their own interests, it's crazy, right. You know.
No, and that is it. That is the whole thing in a nutshell. Unless you understand the Jewish role in this, then nothing makes sense. And so people come up with all these nonsensical explanations for things. It's the Chinese,
it's quite humorous.
Or it's the Russians, or it's something weird. You know, it's the Democrat Party. It's, you know, they come up with, they can't come up with the right answer. So, and nothing winds up making sense. And, you know, why does the Democrat Party want to destroy America? Because they're stupid? No, because they're, nothing makes sense. But, if you're looking at, you can explain the war with the Jewish question, right? They have a vendetta against Vladimir Putin.
Of course. Historically and currently.
Yeah. They've got
a vendetta. Well, they hate Russia. Yeah. And also, you know, Putin's not playing ball, so they're not able to control him. And $70 billion you've now sent over to the Ukraine in weapons and aid. I think there was another $1.7 billion recently for Ukrainian healthcare. I really didn't realize that Ukraine was actually part of the United States, Patrick. But you're looking after that that particular state very well. I mean, you know, I think it was Janet Yellen who I heard was saying it was like $1.7 billion going for Ukrainian healthcare. I'm thinking, sorry, did you say I could have sworn you're in America. Did you say Ukrainian healthcare? Presumably everybody in the United States healthcare is all sorted out, so you've got that extra money then for the Ukraine. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah. So Janet Yellen, Jewish, by the way, to Zelensky, President Zelensky, Jewish, by the way. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, with the Jewish explanation explains a lot. And, you know, you look at you could call the war a vendetta against Putin. And then you look at the way the war is being prosecuted, where it's clear that Ukraine is just losing, and the more it fights, the more it loses. Well, why does it keep fighting then? Because who's dying? They're going to fight to the last goy. You know?
Yeah.
Zelensky is a hero? How about this? What if you had had, 35 years ago, the president of South Africa, Botha or de Klerk or whoever it was, whoever you want to pick. And let's just say he was being invaded by the Soviet Union, maybe. And, you know, the Soviet Union, they were clearly going to win. But Botha, he just keeps throwing Zulu after Bantu after Bantu and throwing them into a completely hopeless defense of Durban and then Cape Town and Johannesburg, just throwing in all of these blacks, and they're getting mowed down by the Soviets. There's no way they're going to win, but he just keeps throwing more and more blacks in. They're dying and dying and dying. Would that make de Klerk a hero?
This is the retardedness of the West. You know, around here, even in where I live, it's a pretty liberal, you know, just down the road, I was in a place called Richmond. It's a very salubrious, largely white suburb of London for wealthy people, and they've got the Ukrainian flags up there. I mean, if they love the Ukrainian flags, if they love the Ukrainians so much, why are they supporting the mass slaughter of them for Jewish interests? You know, Putin actually, in his last address, said that if the United States, he said something, he was goading them. He's very confident at the minute of his position. He said, "You're welcome." He said, "You're welcome to try if you want to try and defeat us on the battlefield." So Putin, he's very confident of his position, because I think It's the insanity and the aggression of the Jew, which is usually his undoing down through history. They're a mad dog, and it always gets them in trouble. They just don't know when to stop. They just keep pushing. And, you know, I actually saw an ad. I don't know who was covering it. It might have been someone on Fox News, where there was like there's some advert with some black lady in New York about how to survive a nuclear attack. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, and it was so nonchalant and so cavalier that no one seems to be really that concerned about this escalating and the fact that Putin has so many nuclear weapons and that one of their MPs said that London would be the first target. I don't hear anybody talking about this. You don't hear anybody talking about this, you know, as an issue when it comes to the new leader of the Conservative Party. You don't hear immigration being mentioned either. The people keep flooding in. I think about 44,000 illegals this year. They've all been put up in hotels. Of course, they destroyed the hospitality industry with COVID and the lockdowns. So the hotels are desperate for the business. So what's, you know, it's, what are you going to do if the government comes along and says, well, you know, we'll pay you X, Y, and Z, you know, amount of money so to house these people for the next year. That's just good business, for guaranteed business for the hotels who have been suffering. And I saw a story recently where they threw out a guy who was staying in a hotel, like a normal person who lived there, paid his rent, and he was thrown out to make way for the so-called asylum seekers. So, hey, I mean, everything's just against the natural interest.
You know where I think the asylum seekers should stay?
Where?
Faulty Towers.
Faulty Towers? Yeah, he'd sort them out, wouldn't he?
He would sort them out, that's right. Did you ever see the one where he had banged his head on something and he kept like, and the German, there were some Germans staying at his place and he kept going into Hitler mode?
Yeah.
Goose stepping around and throwing Roman salutes.
Yeah, and he had a little mustache. He had a little mustache like Hitler's. So anyway, no one seems to care about a nuclear attack. But as I say, they're obviously thinking about it in New York because they're doing a little ad telling the New Yorkers how to survive a nuclear attack. And I, quite frankly, I don't really think there is any way to, you know, what are you going to do? Get under your bed? You know? Like put a helmet on or something. Anyway, nuclear weapons don't seem to scare anybody anymore. So there we are. And none of the, I mean, this conservative, you know, you got Rishi Sunak. He was the chancellor and carried out basically just Keynesian economics, throwing money around, printing furlough in half the country. Then as a, you know, as a remedy for inflation, he doled out another $6.5 billion. So he's going to be the first, you know, brown, non-white prime minister probably. But as I say, he's about as conservative as Jeremy Corbyn. You know, I mean, the conservatives are, their fiscal and economic policies are so socialist that I would rather Jeremy Corbyn was in there, because at least he's honest about it, and at least he doesn't support Israel, and he probably want to get out of the war in Ukraine. And then, of course, you've got Liz Truss in there. Liz Truss, who's the foreign secretary who got humiliated by Sergei Lavrov. She's in the running. I mean, talk about a swamp. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're all just puppets. We know that they don't control anything. They say the right things sometimes to get into power, and then they just do the bidding of international jury and Zionism. So, what's the point in even, like, you know, it's pointless. I mean, you know, even on Fox News, you know, Sean Hannity, they just constantly go on about the Democrats. You know, Sean, so I'm sure the Republicans are so wonderful. I mean, there's not much difference between the Republicans and the Democrats either. Very little. And it's the same here. You know, there's a cigarette paper between the so-called conservatives and Labor. So,
yeah,
I don't know what to do about this situation.
Well, I don't know. You're not going to find a lot of comfort looking at the race to secede Boris Johnson or things like that. But to see the rules-based liberal world order come crashing down because of its own stupidity. I mean, this is completely self-inflicted.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Vladimir Putin they picked this fight with Vladimir Putin, and Putin's just beating the hell out of them. And, you know, he didn't ask for it. And then they did ask for it. And this is I think this is going to have massive repercussions. And I think we're going to have all sorts of political instability in Britain, in some European countries.
It's already happening.
In the United States.
It's already happening.
Yeah. But getting back to the Jewish thing.
Yeah.
Right. Well, just real fast, getting back to the Jewish thing. You know, if you don't understand the Jewish power, then you get these weird explanations. I mean, how would you explain the insanity of this Ukraine war? How would you explain why the president of Ukraine is fighting to the last Ukrainian in a losing battle, where the longer he fights, the more territory he's going to lose? I mean, none of this makes sense. But then, you know, look at a whole range of issues. Look at the mass immigration, whether it's into the United States, whether it's into UK or Sweden or Germany. But, you know, you look at it, and like Sean Hannity will say, or Tucker Carlson, that this is so that the Democratic Party can have permanent power. You know, the Democrat Party, the parties in the United States are not, they barely even resemble a European party. There's very little organization. All that the parties do, they're just kind of vehicles for primaries. That's it. They're vehicles for selecting candidates in the United States. They really don't have much to do with policy or other things. And nobody with real power cares about the. Do you know who the chairman of the Democratic Party is?
No.
No, and neither do 99% of the people in America.
Chuck Schumer?
No, it's Jamie Harrison. Have you ever heard of Jamie Harrison?
Yeah. Harrison?
He's like a 38-year-old, 40-year-old black guy. And nobody in America, he's not a household name. 99% of the people have never heard of him. But he's the chairman of the Democratic Party. The chairman of the Democratic Party doesn't mean anything, because the Democratic Party as an institution, as an organization, has no power. There are people affiliated with the Democratic Party who have power, but their power doesn't come from the party. It comes from their position in Congress or their position in a state government. Well, I was just going to say, the reason you have, you know, they don't need to import tens of millions of people from the south of the border to win elections. They can cheat elections. And besides, the illegal aliens really don't vote very much. They really don't. I mean, probably less than one-tenth of them vote. They're not voting. The legal immigrants will vote once they've got U.S. citizenship, but illegal immigrants aren't voting. So that's just a whole red herring. The reason they're coming is to replace white people. It's to turn white people into a minority. It's to replace them. It's so that you get to take away their jobs, so that they don't have job skills. I mean, the entire construction industry now is foreigners, and so it makes sense if you understand that Jews do not want to live in a white majority country, so they're turning in because they're afraid that the whites are all of a sudden going to go Nazi on them. Of course, they push and they push and they push. Who knows what's going to happen?
They might 20 years from now, but until people start, until that penny drops and people start looking at the history of Europe and their relationship with these people.
I have to say, Tucker does talk about the Democrats, some of these terms are just used as smokescreens for Jewish power when they talk about the Democrats, or the, or us, you maybe get like Ron Paul and some of the people on Russia Today where they talk about the military-industrial complex. Okay, the military-industrial complex is part of it, so there's a money laundering operation going over there.
Well, in the merry month of May, now from me home I started, left the girls and two were nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear, kissed me darling mother.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Could no longer stand it, blood began to boil. Temper I was new as I'm poor, old air and vile. They began abusing her arm, me soul says I'm a shillelagh, I let fly. Galway boys were by and I was a howling will below it. Hooray, the giant in the affray, quickly clear the way for the rocky roads, a double and one, two, three, four, five.
The military-industrial complex. Okay, the military-industrial complex is part of it. You know, so there's a money laundering operation going over there. Some of the weapons manufacturers are making some extra money, and some of these other oligarchs are, you know, getting richer and stuff. But again, it's just a small part of it. You know, it's not looking at the bigger motivation for it all. You know, yes, sure, people make money out of these wars. As I say, and a lot of it, you know, that 70 billion, well, you know, probably Zelensky's probably got a billion of that. But yeah, they don't talk about the fact that we're being replaced. I think I did see Tucker once talk about it, that we're being replaced, yeah. You know, that it's not a conspiracy theory. But, you know, he's obsessed with China, anyway.
Green energy. I mean, he spends almost once a week he'll have a show about wind turbines. So that's another bug up his rear end he's got. I don't know.
We should thank the Chinese. We should thank the Chinese because if they might develop Africa, which could prevent some of them coming up here, because otherwise, you know, Africa is going to starve because of the wheat and the fertilizers that are not getting there from Russia. And that's the last thing you want is an explosion in the population of Africans, and then they're starving. Where do you think they're going to go? They're not going to the Gulf states. They're not going to Israel. They're not going to China. They all just end up here, you know, just this black African tsunami. So I'm kind of hoping the Chinese keep developing Africa so they keep them out of Europe, you know?
Yeah, I hope they take it over. Europeans taking over Africa was one of the worst things in history. It was an absolute disaster. And, you know, the Chinese, I don't know if they're going to, if they'll do better or not, but, you know, good luck if they want to try. But the thing about the Chinese is the Chinese, 40 years ago, were a very, very poor country. And typically, and this was pretty much dogma in, you know, political economy back in the 80s, poor countries are going to have rising populations, and then with development, then women get into the workforce, and they postpone having children. And with development, you get social welfare programs and national pension schemes, and so people don't feel that they have to have 8 or 9 children in order to support them when they're in their old age. That was the dogma. That was accepted wisdom. But China broke that mold. China was extremely poor, and they just put the brakes on their own population growth with their one draconian but one child policy, and it was successful. And I don't know if they'll ever be in the position to impose such a thing on Africa.
They could if they wanted. I'm sure if they wanted, they could do what they want.
Good. Yeah. No, I was just saying the Chinese, because they did this to themselves. And it worked. They would be in a position to say to the Africans, "Why don't you?"
I'm just looking at a map here of the average IQ in Africa is 75. Some of them are as low as 69, 64.
Okay. Before our connection issue, you were talking about population explosion in Africa, the potential for the Chinese maybe even to get a grip of it, and then were you going to bring up some IQ figures?
Oh yeah, I saw a map of the average IQ, the IQs in Africa. I mean, it's 83, and that looks like Egypt is the highest. Some of them are as low as 64. I mean, the average is 75. And these are the people that are flooding up into Europe to enrich us, Patrick. In fact, I was just watching earlier on Russia Today. There's a probe. The probe finds police not guilty of the migrant deaths, despite the video footage. Of course, RT come at this from a kind of a outrage point of view, where those evil border patrol force in Melilla, in that little Spanish enclave, decided to protect their borders. And you see the footage. Yeah, there was some police brutality, but these guys are like, there's hundreds of them just like climbing over the fence. You think that big 18-foot fence would be a clue? We don't want you here. This is there's a fence here for a reason. But they just ignored that and climbed over it. And apparently, you're not allowed to protect your border. What's the point in having a fence and a border patrol if the fence has been breached by hundreds of Africans? What are they supposed to do? Just allow them in? That's what border force are there for, to protect the border. So there's this outrage in RT about human rights tragedies and or crimes and police brutality. Well, and they're wondering how to prevent this in the future. Well, how about you just don't storm a fence or a border? You know, that'll prevent it. Just stay where you are. And, I'm sick and tired of hearing. There was a guy on from Botswana and saying that they have the right, you know, they have the right to go to wherever they want. But no, they don't. You know, we have borders for a reason. I'm sick and tired of it. It's just like, if this logic is anything to go by, we literally just let Africa in here. And yeah, the food shortages are going to accelerate this, so it's going to be a big problem. Well, I'm a little bigger man, a big and I have been up to teach store more, and a little lolly green, and I know I'm familiar from the basement to the zoo, and I know. I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
sick and tired of it. It's just like, we, you know, if this logic is anything to go by, we literally just let Africa in here. And yeah, the food shortages are going to accelerate this, so there's going to be a big problem. It's already a big problem, but it could get worse. And I think, what, 27 of them died or whatever? Well, you know, don't do it then. You know, you can't just, you know, come here. No, they don't go anywhere else. It's always Europe. You know, as I say, they're not storming Israel's borders or the Gulf states or India, the most racist country in the world that you won't hear about. In fact, I heard, sorry to rant, but I heard this woman on, she's a black woman, a Labour supporter, talking about, you know, the illegal asylum seekers coming across the channel, that we should just let them in and let them work and they'll be good taxpayers. You know, we don't know who they are, what skills do they have, do they even want to work, you know. And she started then comparing, you know, we're very kind of like small-minded here, you know. We started if you look at it in the global scale, you know, our numbers that we take are very small. And then she talked about, you know, Germany takes far more. Like, she give out some massive number for Germany, and then I think she talked about Italy, and I was thinking, yeah, that doesn't sound too global to me. That sounds very European-y, mm-hmm. You know? You know, so, and it's a bit like someone with a drug problem, you know, saying, well, what are you worried about? You're only taking 6 grams of cocaine in a day. This guy over here, he's taking 10. I mean, you think you've got a problem? Look at him. He's taking 10 grams of coke every day. Do you know what I mean? This is the logic. It's like, first of all, we're a small island. And secondly, if Germany wants to commit demographic and cultural suicide, that's their problem. It's sad to see, but you know, this is how they compare it. It's like, well, we're not as bad as Germany. And then, of course, you hear the, and again, you hear this on RT and you hear it on Al Jazeera and stuff like that, about how Europe really shows its true racist colors, because we welcome the Ukrainians, but we don't want those Africans, you know. Maybe these people should come here and see how much we don't like those Africans. The place is crawling with brown people, not to mention that war has been rammed down our throats. The propaganda has been rammed down our throats. So, of course, you've got the usual, oh, let's help all Ukrainians. That's a factor. You know, whatever other wars are around the world, they're not really covered by the BBC and Sky News. And how many of these people, you hear it all the time, they're fleeing war. What war? They never say, where's the war? Who's actually fighting? You know, there's always a war somewhere, Patrick.
Mm-hmm. So there's always a war somewhere. And you know what most wars are about? Is people crossing borders. Historically, right? I mean, you can go back to prehistory. And this is what it's all been about. It's, you know, go in, take the land, take the resources, take the women. I mean, this is what different groups of people have been doing. And not just throughout history, but throughout prehistory, is evidenced by, you know, DNA, recent DNA studies. You can see that this has been going on since before history, since before written language, before civilization. That's what it is. And so when you've got just like countless Africans climbing fences, storming beaches, literally storming beaches, just coming up, and then of course it's worse though, because you've also got the what is it? Which column is it on the inside? Is it a third column or a fifth column? I don't know how many columns there are.
Fifth column.
All right. You got the fifth column where the Africans, all they have to do is go out into the Mediterranean for like a mile or two in a dinghy. And then you've got these NGOs or the coast guards of Italy or other states going and scooping them out of the water and bringing them in, and it's completely
not
insane.
Not only that, but they're out there in these countries. They're going around these poor countries, telling them that they can have a much better life in Europe. There's a whole evangelist movement of Jews going to these poor countries and telling them they can have a better life in Europe. You know. So they're doing that too. That never gets covered. But I forget where I saw it. They were out in some village, and you could see them, you know, telling them what to say, telling them how to get benefits, telling them they'll be very welcomed, telling them they'll get across, they'll get benefits, you know, and telling them what to say. You know, these people come from, you know, backward countries in Africa, and they've got these little placards. Don't be racist. Don't be xenophobic. You know, so they're told the little buzzwords to say as well. It's an absolute mess. We've got to get it under control, because it's going to get worse with these food shortages and the population explosion, because we're just going to be overwhelmed. It's really bad. It's bad enough as it is, but, you know, and then the condemnation, like I say, against the border force when they actually decide to police it, you know. Hopefully it'll send a message back there that, you know, you could get killed when you're trying to go to Europe, you know.
Well, the thing is, the more brutality there is, then the less likely they are to come. And you know, in the United States, a couple of weeks ago, we had this case where the police in or around San Antonio, Texas, came across a truck, and they opened it up, and there was 70 dead migrants inside that had just been left there. And, you know, there's all sorts of stuff going on. Like the migrants die, the migrants come in, and they're mostly men, and they rape and kill. There's a whole lot of death and destruction that comes along with this migration. And, you know, I'm a nice guy. I really am a nice guy. I'm a nice, caring guy. But honestly, if you announced a shoot-to-kill policy, you'd shoot and kill some people. But over the long run, you'd have a lot less death and destruction that way, because it would send the message and they would stop coming.
Yeah, well, it's just one example. But I mean, I remember covering a story of it in 2017. I think there's a lovely little seaside town in eastern Italy called Rimini, and there was a guy and his girlfriend
They basically, it was three black guys, and they basically raped her. I think they might have even raped him as well. And they, you know, give him a beating within an inch of his life. I mean, this is in a nice little civilized seaside town in Rimini. You're walking along with your girlfriend, and that happens. No, we don't want Africans here. Sorry, sort your own problems out. I'm sick and tired of the assumption as well that I was listening to Crosstalk and RT, and it's just this affirmation, this assumption that Europe's responsible for Africa. You know, it's like, you know, and again, the idea of the Ukrainians coming to Europe. Okay, well, all things being equal, usually if there's a war somewhere, you'd go to the nearest place and somewhere where you're closer to you geographically, racially, culturally. But no, they always come to Europe and they're complaining about the Ukrainians, that we're taking the Ukrainians. Well, the Ukrainians are actually still closer to us ethnically. And as I say, it's been all over the media. So why wouldn't we take them, you know, if we're going to take anybody? But I felt like saying, well, you can be guaranteed they're not going to go to Africa, are they? To this black fella moaning. I was like, how many refugees do Africa take? Oh, yeah, they don't take anybody because they can't get their together enough where they can even look after themselves. So Africa won't be taking any Ukrainians, will they? No, you only produce refugees. You don't actually take any. And it's almost like, you know, I'm a Christian. It's almost like, you know what? I don't know why God bothered to create Africa. You know, he should have just created Europe. You know, if he wanted everybody to live in Europe, he should have created Europe, saved himself the extra work creating the African continent.
So why did he create Africa?
You know what? It tests my faith. I don't even know. It really does. I mean, what was the point? I just don't get it. I mean, they're not even, you know, there's such an increase in Islam there now as well.
What was he thinking?
I know. You know, it's just like, I just don't see the point of that place. It's just a burden. It's always a white man's burden. And yet they hate us and they call us racist. I mean, you couldn't make it up. They risk their lives. You know, if you find out there was like some place, like say India, which actually is really racist, you know, you wouldn't go there if you're a white person because you wouldn't be allowed to start a business. Probably wouldn't get a driver's license. It's the same in Thailand, I think, you know, and some of those other places over there. You can get citizenship, or no, you can live there, but you wouldn't get citizenship, you know. There's all sorts of things you can't do. Could you imagine telling immigrants here, well, you know, you're not allowed to have a driver's license and you can't start a business? Could you imagine the outrage? But this is what goes on in places like India and Pakistan, you know.
Yeah. Well, and so good luck to the Chinese in colonizing Africa. Best of luck. I don't see why.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason for us to be outraged about it.
No.
But anyway,
I'd rather be ruled by Chinese than ruled by Jews.
Absolutely. Like, I wish I had said that.
Oh, that's right. It's on your little profile, isn't it, in Skype?
It's my... I tried having it something like... You know how businesses will say, like, serving better coffee since 1972? And I tried to get it to say something like, preferring being ruled by Chinamen than Jews since 2007. But it didn't fit.
Right. Okay. So you didn't have enough space for it.
It might have been more like 2012 when I started preferring being ruled by China than the Jews. Have you ever seen the what's it called? Murdoch? Have you ever seen Murdoch, the cartoon?
No.
There's this cartoon, and it's kind of cheap animation. It's called Murdoch, and it's about these... There's three central characters. There's Murdoch, and you know the normie meme that's just kind of like white background and kind of sketchy guy with nondescript face. Yeah. Okay. So that's comes from Murdoch. So you've got Murdoch who looks kind of like that. You've got Professor Murdoch who looks like that except has a mustache, and then you've got Murdoch Chan who looks like that but has blonde hair. And is a girl. And
yeah.
So it's about the three of them. But at any rate, in one episode, Murdoch and Professor Murdoch were walking around town, and they were
the women who were all fat and tattooed and unappealing and obnoxious, none of them would give Murdoch or Professor Murdoch the time of day. And they were kind of, you know, lamenting it. And it's like, well, and meanwhile, there were blacks and there were you know, Muslim immigrants. They're all getting the women and Murdoch and Murdoch and Professor Murdoch. They walk into a bookstore, and of course, you got a Jewish guy trying to sell them porn, but he's selling them like weird Jewish porn, and they just want their Japanese anime. And then all of a sudden, they're invaded. All of a sudden, a bunch of Jackie Chan clones jump out of helicopters, and they take over America. And they sorted out the riffraff, and then there were these like girls, Oriental girls in high school uniforms, sailor suits, and Professor Murdoch and Murdoch, they each had a high school girl on their arm, and they were saying, you know, being a second class citizen is way better than being a sixth class citizen. And they kind of liked it, but Murdoch Chan, the girl, she teamed up with John Bolton and the Magapedes, and they fought off the somehow they managed to fight off the army of Jackie Chan clones, and they got America back. They defeated the dreaded Chinese. And John Bolton, at the end of the show, he said, President Trump wants to thank you and to show his gratitude towards you. He's going to give $6 gazillion to Israel in your name.
$6 gazillion. Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned John Bolton there. John Bolton, in an interview on CNN a couple of days ago, just nonchalantly admitted that he's been involved with a coup d'etat. And he just said, "Oh, not in this country, but in other countries." Yeah, yeah. He said, "Yeah, I've been involved with coup d'état in other countries, as you do, casually announced to the world." So,
obviously, the United States does that, and they do assassinations.
Of course,
I know the assassinations, assassinating foreign leaders, is against the law in the United States. Not that it matters; it's done.
But just to admit it.
To admit it, I'm not even sure, like, if it's against the law to do coup d'etats in other countries. I'm not sure about that. But yeah, to admit it, it was very brazen. I'm glad he said such a thing, because of course it goes on.
If we said that, they'd call us conspiracy theorists, because they do call us conspiracy theorists when we talk about the coup d'etat that happened in Ukraine in 2014.
Yeah, but it's very clear. When you've got Victoria Nuland, and you've got pictures of her from, I guess, December of 2013, pictures that were published in major newspapers, where she and John Kerry and, of all people, Sassy Jen Psaki, who until recently was Biden's spokesman, but she had been spokesman for the State Department in 2013, 2014. They and a couple other officials are meeting with Poroshenko and Yatsenyuk and Klitschko, the boxer who became the mayor of Kiev. So they're meeting with these three people, and then you have these street demonstrations, which Victoria Nuland was taking part in, visibly, very, you know, visibly taking part in. And of course, you've got the phone call between her and the American ambassador to Kiev, saying, okay, this is who we want in the government. This is who we want leading the government. We want Yatsenyuk. And we don't want...
Yeah, she said, screw the EU.
Yes, yeah, in even more vulgar terms. And then, of course, when you actually have this coup d'etat, you get exactly those people that she was meeting with and she was proposing to have in government, in this position and that position. How can you not say that that wasn't a U.S. Triggered coup, a U.S. backed coup?
Yeah, and how can you then claim that it's a democracy, unless it's the kind of democracy where essentially Victoria Nuland just decides who's going to be the next leader? That kind of democracy.
Well, the democracy.
You know, by the way, one other point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's nothing new about the Jews and their coup d'état, because in the scriptures you see it. It doesn't call it a coup d'état. but they it says that, you know, they're pressurizing the authorities and they're stirring up the people. You see that phrase in the New Testament quite a lot when Paul was evangelizing the nations. They stirred up the people against Paul. You know, they're always stirring up people, you know. It's the same thing what they do is out in Hong Kong, you know. They're stirring people up, you know, to bring about the change that they need, you know. But that's what they're always doing, stirring people up.
You mentioned Hong Kong, and just in case people forgot, when was that, 2019 when that was going on? That was pre-COVID stuff.
Yeah.
You had...
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You mentioned Hong Kong, just in case people forgot, when was that, 2019 when that was going on? That was pre-COVID stuff.
Yeah.
And there again, you had these leaders of the Hong Kong riots, very young people. These were people in their 20s, and they were meeting with the counselor. Consulate office, State Department officials from the Hong Kong consulate office,
meeting openly and then carrying out these really violent attacks where, you know, they were setting old people on fire because old people were fine with the status quo. They're still fine with the status quo. They're setting these people on fire, setting all sorts of stuff on fire, police stations and malls and all sorts of stuff. And then somehow this was they were the democracy people. That was our values, our democratic values.
Yeah, well, you see, this is what, you know, when you hear, you know, when you hear democracy spreading, you know, these are kind of words, you know, for example, Putin has he's seen that movie before. And he doesn't want to be in the sequel. You know, you know what happens when the West decides to spread their democracy. They basically carpet bomb and flatten your country and kill the leader of it. So you can see why Putin's like maybe not too keen about this democracy spreading business on his doorstep, you know.
Well, all I can say is that he's doing well. That I remember in
he's a true hero of mine. He's a true hero of mine. Yeah,
he's a hero for humanity. He's a hero.
I like him so much, honestly. Yeah, he's so impressive. You know, I know people are going to say, "Oh, you're a little fanboy of Putin and all that," but he's sticking it to them. How can you not like it?
Yeah. No, he's humiliating them. All these, getting back to the original theme of this show, you're going to have, I mean, Biden would be out already if people just didn't want the pain and itch of chlamydia. But you know, what are they going to be able to do about it? I mean, we are going to have this massive crisis in the United States because Biden is he's very unpopular. He's very senile. They're gonna get rid of him. You know, he'll be impeached or resign or 25th Amendment, and then Harris will be in. Nobody likes Harris, but she's gonna have to appoint a vice president. That's gonna be where the real crisis is gonna come, because the vice presidency will be open. She's not gonna be able to appoint somebody and have the House of Representatives approve, especially if this happens after the midterm elections. And so it's going to be open. She's going to be vulnerable. And then if the vice presidency is open and the president is impeached or whatever, then if the Speaker of the House, who could be anybody, will become president. All sorts of weird things. We're going to have this massive constitutional crisis here, and it's going to be interesting. But we're up at the end of our time.
Just one more positive note. The young woman who won Wimbledon, it was called Elena Rybakina, because they banned the Russian tennis players. Anyway, girl who wins Wimbledon was born in Moscow.
Good for her. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say spasiba for joining me, comrade. Tovarish.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Patrick.
And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Counties can't be independent in the state of independence. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. The Pennsylvania Department of State is suing three counties over the last primary election. Pennsylvania law requires absentee and mail-in ballots be dated on the outside of the envelope by the voter. The three Republican-controlled counties don't want to count the ballots that were not dated as required. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 says the government should not deny citizens the right to vote because of an error or omission. We all know that federal law trumps state law, so why make the law in question? In fact, how can we make any laws about mail-in voting? Forgot the date? Omission counted anyway. Didn't mail it in time? Error still counts. It has become too much to expect people to just follow the rules. Please support transparency from Congress by visiting liberty-lighthouse.com/HR46. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
You can't- can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.